when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you precious Blood River Radio family out there. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before I go to our usual drill, I've got to tell you, I'm so incredibly excited. Last week's show, as good as last week's program was, and I think it's probably one of the best we've ever done. I think this tonight's show will probably rank up there. If it's not number one, it will be tied with the two other programs to number one. I can't believe what's happening. But anyway, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. That's who you're listening to, Blood River Radio, the only radio station in the United States of America I know of that's dedicated itself solely to fighting global white genocide. That's what we're here for. And everything we've ever talked about on this radio program does link together, has to do with a global white genocide. People, as you also know, on this program, we're a Christian show. We believe that we totally are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. So if you will, we're going to say a quick prayer. If you will, bow your head quickly. Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, the God of all the seen and unseen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller, Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio. Oh, Lord, please continue, if you will, please continue to shine your graces down on us, and please continue to let us do your will and fight the beast as best as we can. Continue, Lord, to give us the courage and the wisdom to know who the beast is, the courage and to know how to fight the beast, and the courage to fight the beast and to never turn our back on him. And Lord, I would like to thank you so much for all the grace you have showered down on Blood River Radio, Lord. And I would like to ask you to continue to protect our family, our blood family, our friends, and let us always give us the courage, Lord, to always ride to the sound of the gunfire. And Lord, I ask all this in your precious son's name, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross while we were yet sinners, Lord, to pay the sin price so we can all go to meet with you, Lord, someday. It's a free gift, if just for the asking. So I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, people, we always thank our donors, because without donors, like we say this every show, without donors, there would be no Blood River Radio. There would be no Liberty News Radio. There would be no radio programs whatsoever anywhere in the world without donors. And that goes doubly for Blood River Radio. This week, we had none other than Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Outpost AZ. That's who he is. And he donates every month. It's like clockwork. God bless you, Jim Zim. He's a fellow. He was one of my combat brothers. We worked in the same unit. But he was up close and personal with the enemy in Southeast Asia back in the same period I was. And he was a combat wounded. He's got the scars to show it. But he donates every month. God bless you, Jim Zim. Also, none other than the Bitter Ender himself. The Bitter Ender sent his check. I hate to cash the check because it's so beautiful. I mean, it looks like a painting. You wouldn't believe it. I don't know how it gets by with putting on a check out in your face with the Confederate flag. And instead of said United States of America, he says, Nashville, Tennessee, whatever, the Confederate States of America. But thank you so much, Jim Zim. Thank you so much, Gene Andrews, Bitter Ender. And also, somebody I hadn't heard from in a long time, Dennis Hillegoss and his wife, they sent in a nice little letter. And a nice donation. So I'd like to thank those people very, very much for what they've done to help keep Blood River Radio in the air. Tonight, people, we're going to get right down to it. I know God has intervened in this show to make Blood River Radio what it is, to connect me with such incredible people that I'm not kidding you. I I guarantee you, I'd lay my life down for these people. I love them to death. And first I'm going to introduce, you know who she is. She's my little sister. Yes, sir. And you know exactly who she is. It's Miss Monica Braveheart Schaefer. And guess who else is coming on? Her brother, Alfred Schaefer, reporting directly from the den of the dragon himself. He has recently spit in the eye of Satan. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say this right now. I'm so excited. I shouldn't say this on the air, I guess. I'm about to wee-wee in my pants. I'm so excited, folks. I hadn't done that since I was 6 years old. But anyway, Miss Monica is going to kind of drive this interview with her brother. I'm going to make comments and ask questions when we come in and out of the breaks. With that, I'm shutting up. Miss Monica, if you will, lead us off. Introduce your brother to the audience, Miss Monica. Your other brother, I might say. I don't know which one is the oldest.
No, he's my older brother. So, yeah, and bigger brother in many ways, I guess you could say. So, okay, it's great to be back on the show with you, Eddie. And I also am very, very happy that Alfred has joined us today. Maybe just a very, very brief introduction to who he is, what he's done. I'll just say he just came out of a four-year jail sentence about 7 or 8 months ago. That was July 1st in 2022 that he was released after serving. What a concept. After being in jail for 4 years. Not for doing any violent crime or not for smashing up windows and robbing a bank. No. Just for words, right? For words, videos, and educating people about what's really going on in the world. So that's something that they don't like very much. And anyway, last weekend was a pretty big, important time in Dresden. And I'm going to hand it over to Alfred right now and just to give a brief synopsis of what happened there for now, and then we can get more into the details after the break. I know the break comes in about 3 or 4 minutes or so. So Alfred, why don't you say hello and tell us some of the excitement that just happened.
Well, thank you very much, Monica, and thanks, Eddie, for having me or us on your show. Yeah, these are very exciting times, and we are seeing the end game of this this incredible death matrix that we've been that we're suffocating underneath now. And anyway, this last weekend I was in Dresden I went to Dresden to participate in a peaceful march kind of thing to commemorate the hundreds of thousands who were bombed and burned to death in February of 1945. And on the 9th of February, that was on Thursday, I left here, my home, at 5 in the morning to catch a train, to go to Munich, and then from there to Dresden. And on the way to Dresden on that train, the guy I was with, he was in a wheelchair, so I was, kind of taking care of him too. He got a call, and it says, Alfred Schaefer's calling you. It says, how can I be calling you? I'm sitting across from you. And it was my wife calling. So it registered as Alfred Schaefer on his phone. And she informed us that two plainclothes policemen from the, Verfassungsschutz, which is the constitutional police, I guess you could say, or secret police or whatever, came here and asked, they wanted to meet with me. And my wife says, he's traveling, he's gone. And they says, well, let me guess, he's went to Dresden. Well, what they wanted to do, and they missed me by 2 hours. I snuck out the door before they got here, kind of thing. They wanted to give me a prohibition to go anywhere by requiring me to go to the police station 2 times every day over a period of 4 days. And every time that I would miss this obligatory registering at the police station would cost me €1,000 penalty, sort of thing. So it's absolutely insane what they're trying to do now to keep us tied down and not make it illegal for us to commemorate our own ancestors who died, innocent ancestors who died or who were murdered en masse. And anyway, when so on the 11th, that was then 2 days later, when I went, we went with the train from the place we were staying, just outside of Dresden, into Dresden. And it was fairly a bit of a panic in the air amongst the people I was with, because there was just lots and lots of antifas there, you know, screeching, you know, stuff like, you know, bomber hairs, do it again, and just making a ruckus. And they were concerned that maybe we should get off the train before the main station, or maybe after the main station, because they were so afraid of these Antifa people. And that was also my main concern, was the Antifas, because they are getting more bold and more criminal as this thing progresses. They will come up in with like a gang of them from behind with clubs or something, and whack you over the head and actually kill you if they can. But then in the end, when we got to the main train station, there was squadrons of police, very like heavily armed police, and they took they basically separated the Antifas away from us for our protection, basically. But then after we were standing there in front of the train station, on one side of this of square was huge loudspeakers from the Antifa, you know, making, you know, hip hop music and stuff like that. On the other side was loudspeakers from our people, and they were playing nice classical music. And we were kind of just not able to move. Okay, I hear music coming in, so I guess there's a commercial break. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I was just waiting on Monica. But people, please don't go anywhere. We have Alfred Schaefer calling in directly from Germany. He's in Germany right this minute, so hold on to your seats. Be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week, because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some man you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to my spirit brother, Alfred Schaefer, who's coming directly. I'll say, what's, just in case you just tuned in, he's calling in directly from Germany. He went to Dresden. We pronounce it Dresden, but he's German, so he should know. He's calling it Dresden. He went there. He's told about how the police tried to arrest him, etc. But he's going to tell all about that. And one thing before I go to him, I'm just floored how the Antifa in Germany can write on their body and have signs saying, do it again, Bomber Harris, to commit mass murder. And this is the last thing I'll say, a mass murder so great that they kill more people in the incendiary bombing of Dresden than was killed in Hiroshima or Nagasaki by the big bad atomic bombs. That's true. So with that, going right back to my brother, Alfred. Go ahead, Alfred. Continue on, sir.
Thank you, Eddie. Yeah. Anyway, we were just gathered out in front of the train station, and the police were actually there, you know, to protect us from the Antifas, because the Antifas, they would have no qualms about running up and just clobbering us with iron bars or whatever they got. I mean, they are, you know them from the United States, you know them from every single Western country now, what the Antifas are. They are just hooligans out to kill. They're like zombies, basically. Anyway, then we were standing there, and the buddies I was with, they noticed that the police were, they kept looking towards me and then looking in their phones, kind of thing, and then talking on their phones. And then a couple of them came to us, and they said, we have a warrant out for someone. He looks very much like you. We want to see your identification. And before just blindly obeying them, I asked them, what is the problem? Have I broken some laws or whatnot? And they did not let up. And I realized, I'm not going to be able to worm my way out of this one. So I showed them my identification card. And then they says, okay, you're the one we're looking for. There's a warrant out for you. You're going to come with us. And I tried to reason and argue with them for a while, but I realized it was completely hopeless, and they would have, and I didn't want to force them to, you know, get violent or something, because then that's all they would focus on is resisting their attempt to take me in. So I went with them to the police station. And there was, you know, different detectives there, I guess, or whatever you call them, you know, police officers. There's one woman there, and they're asking me questions. There's one woman and a guy, and he was reading me all these things I'm not allowed to do. You know, I'm not allowed to talk with anyone on the right. I say, you know, I was given these obligations when a week before I was released from prison, they told me all the things I'm not allowed to do and so forth. And when they said I'm not allowed to talk to anyone on the extreme right, I say I never talk to anyone on the extreme right, because then I turn 90 degrees and they are in front of me, and then I talk to them. Okay. I don't talk to anybody behind me or, you know, if they're polka dotted or striped, and ask them if there's anybody you don't want me to talk to, or give me their name, give me a picture of them so that I know and I don't break any laws. But when you say I can't talk to someone right or left or polka dotted or striped or these are meaningless words, they're meaningless for me. So don't waste my time with that. And anyway, just to cut this story short, kind of thing, because this interrogation, if you will, they showed me that paper where they wanted to prevent me from even going to Dresden with my obligation to register at the police station, and it says, well, I can't go to the register at that police station because I'm here now in your custody and so forth. And then they made it clear they wanted me on the train on that day, like that night, off to back home, kind of thing. And long story short, they I'm just trying to get this in my mind right now to recap this. They made me sign three different forms there, and in each one of them I said, to prevent further damages to my own person, I will sign this criminal extortion extortion to prevent any further damages to me.
Basically, duress, Alfred. Like in English, we would just say, I'm signing under duress. I'm not signing of my own free will. And
exactly.
Like you say, to prevent any damage to me. But it's showing them that you don't agree, and you're not signing to say, yeah, I agree with this. No, I'm signing under duress so that I don't get hurt here or whatever, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And I showed the detectives that. I says, here, I'm only going to sign it with a statement there. Oh, that's fine. Absolutely no problem. No, fine. And then I said, I did insist on going back, getting a chance to pick up my stuff from the place we were staying. It's like a vacation house kind of thing. And they agreed to that. And I got, transported out with three cops in the car I was sitting in and myself.
See, that's how important you are, Alfred. They've got to give you a big procession, sort of like the king, You get a big procession.
And it was very civilized. They were very polite with me. And the whole way out there, there's an elderly gentleman who was sitting beside me, the detective, I guess, or police or whatever. And I was really saying, these beautiful old houses, the architecture, because we drove the car along the river that all the way out to where the town where I was staying. And you go past all these houses, the most beautiful architecture you could imagine. And this is what Dresden was. It was an architectural, cultural jewel. It was an absolute, it was like the Venice of Germany kind of thing. It was just a beautiful, beautiful town when it was firebombed. But there's still, and they've rebuilt a lot of the stuff on that didn't get bombed, like out of the downtown area. You can still see the same sort of architecture, and it's absolutely just magnificently beautiful. Anyway, this was all very civilized. They were very polite with me, and then I was able to pick up my stuff, and then they drove me to the train station, and they, I bought a ticket, and they watched from outside the train, watched me in my seat until the train actually left the station. But I want to say that this whole episode enabled me to put on the what do you call it? Not the protocol, but the statement, or when you make the statement and you write it down, the obscenity of trying to prevent anybody from mourning their own dead, like our ancestors, like a remembrance day. How can it be that the Germans are not allowed to mourn their own dead? Because if you look at the protocols of the Elders of Zion, it even says in there, we will exterminate them after we have sucked everything out of them, and we will erase even the memory of them. We'll even kill their cows and their chickens and everything else too. And men, women, everybody, we will completely obliterate those who we have sucked out. That's written in the protocols. And that's part of this is part of that process. They
if I can jump in there for a moment.
Even mourning our dead. Yes, please do.
Yeah. So they actually called the mourners they called this action, this act of mourning the dead, they called it hate. And I've looked at news feed type of items about the Dresden commemoration. And I saw banners hung on buildings all along the route that said things like, this is hate, Hass, H-A-S-S in German, Hass, that's hate. And that these mourners are all Nazis and they're full of hate. Now, that is absurd, that if you are going to the graveside of your parents, let's say, is somebody going to come up to you and say, oh, that's hate what you're doing. You're mourning, you're grieving, you're at the gravesite of your parents. That's hate. Like, this is absurd, but this is actually what they had. And if this is maybe a good time to also bring in what else I saw on a video of that march, because I was looking for Alfred in this video, but little did I know he had already been arrested, so he wasn't in the actual procession. But what I did see is a banner that the Antifa had, and these Antifas were screaming and making a lot of noise, and it said Nazis töten. But I'll come back to this after the break. I hear the music.
Yes, and I can't wait until we come back after this break, because I'm just sitting here spellbound myself. People, I'm sure out there, the Blue River Radio family, I'm sure you're spellbound too, but hang on, we'll be back as fast as we can after this message.
Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Former President Trump plans to visit the site of the train derailment in eastern Ohio next week. In a post on Truth Social, Trump wrote he's making the trip on Wednesday because the residents of East Palestine are great people who need help now. Local residents have complained of health issues following the crash involving a train carrying toxic chemicals earlier this month.
I am on city water, but I'd rather just, as a precaution, I have three young kids, myself, my wife, and I'd rather not find out months down the road that there is a problem. They're still doing tests, so there's no final results yet, so I'd rather err on the side of caution.
Trump, a 2024 presidential candidate, said he also hopes President Biden will respond. The U.S. is denouncing the latest North Korean missile test. A National Security Council spokesperson called Saturday's firing of a long-range missile into the Sea of Japan a flagrant violation of U.N. Security Council resolutions. The North Korean launch comes a day after the country threatened to respond to joint military exercises involving the U.S. and South Korea. Vice President Harris is accusing Russia of committing war crimes in Ukraine.
VP Kamala Harris told the Munich Security Conference on Saturday that the U.S. has examined the evidence and says there's no doubt Russia has committed crimes against humanity.
Think of the images of Bucha. Civilians shot in cold blood. Their bodies left in the street.
She says the world has seen Russian forces engage in, quote, horrendous atrocities, including acts of murder, torture, and rape. The vice president vowed the Kremlin will be held accountable. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Nobody picked all six numbers last night in the Mega Millions, so Tuesday's drawing is $104 million. Tonight's Powerball drawing worth $73 million. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Call Omega Accounting Solutions to see if your business is eligible to recover payroll tax pay during the pandemic. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine your qualifications. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-309-ERC. Omega's knowledgeable staff will streamline the process of filing complicated paperwork. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit before it's too late. The 3-year sunset deadline is setting soon. So find out if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, without further ado, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica. She's going to continue where she was at the break. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you about this banner that the Antifa's had, and like Alfred was saying earlier on, that they're just really making a lot of noise. There were a lot of whistles and a lot of jeering and chanting, and they were chanting things like Nazis, you know, Nazis go home, or not, everything is about Nazis, like we're all Nazis now. If we just, any of us that disagree with the mainstream narrative, then we are all Nazis. So all these people who are solemnly mourning the murdered victims of the Dresden genocide on February 13th, 14th, 15th, 1945, they are somehow evil, because of course when they're screaming these epithets at the mourners, they're saying, you know, they're screaming it with hatred. Anyway, one of their banners, and it was big, and it was shown in the, like, I could see it for several seconds. It wasn't just my imagination, and then the camera turned away, and then camera came back to this banner. It was not just my imagination. It had two words on it: Nazis töten. Now, when you translate that into English, it can mean one of two things. It can mean Nazis kill, but it also is like a command saying kill Nazis. That is truly what it meant, because it's kind of like that South African rap guy that had that, I won't call it a song, that piece of noise, that where he was chanting, kill the Boer, in other words, kill the white, and that was not deemed to be anything criminal. He was not charged with a crime for that incitement. So when you have a sign directly there carried by the Antifa in public view, and they're screaming at the same time at all these evil so-called, you know, the so-called evil people who are mourning their dead about, you know, Nazis, and then you have a sign, kill Nazis. Do you not think that is a direct incitement to not only violence, but to murder? So I just wanted to point that out, that here are somebody like Alfred going to walk peacefully through the streets in Dresden to remember the dead, those who were murdered in World War II, at the end of World War II, by this firebombing, this deliberate genocide on the people of Dresden. And yet these people, they call that hate. That's what they call hate. And then they have a banner that's, and they're screaming epithets at these mourners. So these Antifas have a banner that says, to kill Nazis. So anyway, I wanted to point that out, but I'm going to pass it back to you, Eddie, because in the break you had some really excellent questions for Alfred. And I suggested you ask him on the show. Well, okay.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to make a couple of quick comments, and then I'm going to ask this question. Ms. Monica, you know, you said that just because the white people get together, a lot of Christians get together the morning they're dead, these Antifa, these sons of Satan say, oh, that's hate. Well, in their own satanic view of life, because, and it is satanic because they, as Jesus Christ said in St. John 8:44, they are their father, the devil. They are their father, the devil. And that's why they do that. And it's Talmudic when they say it's hateful, because everything is upside down. You said this before, Miss Monica. Everything is upside down to them. If you love yourself, if you're white, if you're Christian, but especially if you're white, and you love yourself, if you love your husband, your wife, if you love your children, if you love your fathers, your grandfathers, your great-grandparents, etc., then they consider that hate. And they're really serious. They're not just saying it as to slander, because they really mean it. Secondly, the second point I'd like to point out, to paraphrase David Carey, David Carey once said, it's always Jews all the time. There's always Jews behind these movements. Now comes the question. Here's the question. And I asked this to Brother Alfred during the break. I said, Brother Alfred, why is it, how on earth that the German police, and I will assume that the average German policeman in Germany, his nationality is German. He's probably white, probably a German. And he has a lot in common with white police in Memphis, and especially Charlottesville, Virginia, during the Battle of Charlottesville. And I asked Brother Alfred, why, how on earth can a white German and a white Virginian cop turn on their own kind and fight to the death for a black here in Memphis, yes, a black in Charlottesville, a Jew in Memphis, a Jew in Germany, turned against their own kind? Are they of such low quality? Are they just such totally devoid of any honor? What? How can they do that, Alfred?
This is the result of a lifelong indoctrination that has disabled them or reduced them to something like a conditioned, trained dog. It's called Pavlovian. They just respond like a dog will drool when he hears a bell and he knows it's going to be time to feed. They have been indoctrinated to be a trigger to do things with trigger words, like that's why the word Nazi is supposed to, they're supposed to, it's like if you have a dog and you say sick him, you know, whatever it is, the dog doesn't make any judgment anymore. You could actually train your dog to bite the head off of little children or something, and your dog will do that and come back wagging his tail and deliver a little child's head and lay it by your feet, and you give him a doggy biscuit and and your dog is happy, you're happy because you trained him to do that, and you'll run into some, and then when it you know, people realize, okay, what's happening here, and someone is going to confront you about that, then you will have a problem, and you will have to explain what has been done. You could say, oh, I wasn't even there. My dog must have ripped that child's head off when I was gone. You've got a good alibi. You weren't there. But that won't, you will be held to account because you conditioned your dog to do that. And this is what we have here. The police that are attacking our own people, they have been so, like we tell them, they have to, it's called remonstrate, when they have to use their own conscience, their own common sense and so forth. And if they disagree with what they have been instructed to do, they are supposed to put in writing that they disagree to. Otherwise, they will become personally responsible for whatever crimes they are committing in doing what they are now doing. And whether in the States, you got white police officers, you know, swinging their rubber batons on women and children because they haven't got their masks on properly or something like that. I mean, these people have all these, they are all complicit in a massive crime, and they have been so inculcated with fear to even question or speak up about it. So this is a full-scale indoctrination, having us reduced to the lowest level we could possibly be reduced to. That's the reason. Yeah.
If I can jump in, this thing about remonstrating is very interesting. Now, the irony of it, correct me if I'm wrong, Alfred, but the irony of it is that this came out of, World War II aftermath, when they, you know, the guard couldn't just say, well, I'm just following orders. But so now they have this law that, yeah, if you're just following orders, that's not going to be any excuse for you in the future. And yet this is based on, of course, the false narrative of, you know, the so-called death camps, which were not death camps, they were work camps in Germany, right? So that's the irony of it.
Yes.
Do you have comment about that, Alfred? Yeah,
yes, Monica. They had gotten the Germans on their knees because they slowly brought in this Holocaust lie, this insidious lie of, you know, 6 million Jews that were turned into soap and shrunken heads and whatnot. And the Germans, it's like the, well, Monica's video, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust. It came about, I mean, that video summarizes the whole thing very nicely when Monica confronted my mom and says, why didn't you do something to stop them, you know, and all that. And my mom's response was, well, we didn't know that. Well, how could they know that? How could you know which lies will be told about you in 30 or 40 years from now? You cannot know it. My parents, my mom responded with the absolute truth. Well, we never heard about it. Of course not, because it never happened. Now, the most insidious thing that I can even, it's grotesque in its insidiousness, is that they got the Germans, and actually the entire white race, on their knees now by this accusation of having participated in a genocide, an industrial-scale genocide of innocent people. And then we look at the COVID plandemic rat poison injections for everybody, where everybody is being forced to roll up their sleeve and take this vaccine. I mean, yeah, yes. You can get out of it, but it's very, very hard. The pressure is huge to get an injection.
We'll get to that point as soon as we come back from this last break. Hold on to that thought, brother. Be right back.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood Rip Radio family, I can't believe this is the last segment, the first couple. Don't have no fear. Brother Alfred is going to remain with us over the second hour. We're going to pick up of Paul Fromm, and if we have time, we're going to get to his booklet. He wrote a nice book. It's about 20 pages. I've read a lot of it. It's called The Cult of Clergy, The Planned Replacement of the European People. And what were we speaking about Dresden, what happened there? And indeed, Germany and the entire Western Europe in the Second World War. That was, if you want to, technically, that would could be, that was part of the clergy plan, to get rid of the white people one way or the other. They don't care how they do it, as long as they get rid of white people. But, you know, I was going to say, I had a question I was going to ask you before we go back. I'll ask this. Alfred, what were the police, why were they so afraid of you being interested? What are they afraid of?
You know what, how I look at this, and I really believe I don't think I'm just delusional in imagining this, but I believe there are people higher up who are trying to give us opportunities to inject just these truth and expose the obscenity of what's going on by engaging us like this. Because I can give you multiple examples that I've experienced, including in my prison, you know, I was 4 years in prison and so forth, things that happened before I was arrested, where I say this cannot be coincidence or errors, you know, like a mistake or something. I think these are long-term building blocks in a long-term construction sort of a thing. And they enhanced the value of my visit to Dresden enormously by arresting me, okay? Had they done nothing, it would have just been, you know, hardly anybody would have taken notice that I was there. It would have made no difference. And this way, we've got, first of all, it made, you know, there was a highlight or made headlines, you know, all over the place. And I injected into the system the obscenity of what they are doing. And I told them in no uncertain terms that I told them how the this biological response to a biological attack is unfolding, that nothing can stop the truth anymore now. And even their own superiors are jumping ship and trying to find ways to come over to our side. So wow. That's how I see it. We have to stop being afraid of being arrested or, you know, they're going to fine us or something. No, these things are that is engaging the system, engaging the matrix. And the only way, you cannot fight a war without engaging the enemy. So we have to engage the enemy wherever we can, in it, whatever capacity we can. And one thing I also want to say, just one thing, Mike, and I'll give it right to you right away, is we have to see the First and Second World War as the second 30-year war, and we have to see it as a divide and conquer of the white race. It was not the bad Germans. No, the Germans, those evil Nazis, actually wanted to prevent the very... the very degeneration and the disaster that we find ourselves in right now. I mean, everyone who's been injected with this vaccine, they have taken their death sentence with that shot. I mean, they might be lucky. Maybe they got a placebo. Maybe they got a milder dose. But very, very many of these people will be dying in the next 3-4 years. Like, that's a given, you know. So back to you, Monica. You had something to say?
Well, I just wanted to ask you, you sent me a copy of this police document that they were trying to serve you with before you left, but they didn't reach you in at home because you had already left. But it said something about that they understood or they caught wind of the fact that you were going to be a speaker in Dresden. And so this is kind of like this notion about preventive, we're gonna prevent some crime. We think you're gonna commit a crime, so we're gonna lock you up. Like, it's absurd. I mean, they're thinking, well, you might speak to some people, and I think they meant in. Whoops, I've got a injured dog. Actually, another dog bit him this morning, and he's just probably got his wound reopened there. But anyway, he's okay. In terms of this preventative thing that they didn't want you to speak, I think they meant is like to address a crowd or something. I don't know. Is that what you got out of that, Alfred?
I didn't really even give that any consideration, and I wasn't actually a speaker. It shows their panic, fear that they find themselves in.
Absolutely.
You know, there's one thing I want to quickly run by you, because this is an important thing. 4 months before I was arrested, so that's going back for like almost 5 years now, I got a letter from the state prosecutor saying I can pick up some of the stuff that they had confiscated from me in the previous raids. I'd been raided a number of times where they stole all my computers and so forth. Well, then I didn't expect much, you know, they'd give anything back in working condition, but they actually gave back the first computer that they stole, which was the revenge for the Sorry Mama, I was wrong about the Holocaust video, you know, with my beautiful sister Monica there, and they had this computer in their possession for 20 months, and on that, and then I first of all, I didn't even turn it on for a while because I thought it's not going to work anyway, and I didn't have time to deal with this old computer anymore. But then I says, no, plug it in and see what happens. I plug it in. It was in perfect working order. There was nothing erased, nothing damaged. And right in the middle of my desktop was a very important file that I was going to do something with it. All the important stuff that I found on the internet, I downloaded and I put it on my desktop so I wouldn't forget it or lose it or something. And it was a less than 2-minute video of Larry Silverstein gloating about the fact that he had the plans for the new World Trade Center on his desk in April of 2000. Now, that's 17 months before 9/11. Now, why did they give this back to me in perfect working order with that file on it? Because they want to be able to say, when the truth comes out, as it inevitably will, they will be able to say, we helped you, to amplify the grotesqueness of this polarization of the lies and the truth and so forth. And we can't help it if you guys are so stupid, you know, but we did something. And that's how I look at it. We have to see ourselves. We have divine help. We're the only reason we exist is to help other people to understand what's going on, to grow our numbers, and to grow the quality of what we understand, you know. And that's what our holy mission is. And these things with what they're doing to, you know, with me now, this arrest in Dresden, I just look at that as one more step that's how I look at it. They help us to amplify what we want to amplify by doing that.
You know what I like about what thing different with this interview is, Alfred, that you're doing that most of our guests really don't do. You give solutions as we're going along. You've already given solutions. For instance, one, we should not be afraid to engage the police. We should not be afraid to be arrested. We should not be afraid to spread our message. And this question, Alfred, when you were there at Dresden, the short time you were there before you got arrested, would you say were the Antifa, were they outnumbered by the people coming to mourn the dead of Germany, or is it vice versa?
Well, the Antifas are organized. The Jews organize the Antifas and bus them in from all over the place and give them a little premium. They get paid to go there. I mean, all this money, you have to understand that this money system that we have now, it's all in the hands of the Jews. It's money you can't even imagine how much it is. So they can throw it out. They can just spend it generously on these sorts of things. And on the other side of the fence, people are intimidated to go there to participate in this because they are afraid of the Antifa. So on the one side, you've got these no-gooders, indoctrinated zombies who are, it's like a job for them to go there and raise hell. And a lot of young people just, can't do anything productive. So they think it's cool to go out and raise hell without thinking. So the cards are stacked against us, you know. That's not going to stop it's not going to stop the truth from spreading. I mean, it is spreading. I mean, people are...
But I think they said there were about 1,000 people mourning, or maybe a little bit more than 1,000 people in the actual commemorative walk. And then on the Antifa side...
20,000 or something.
There were 20,000 what? Antifa?
Antifa, something like that. Oh yeah, they organize them. Wow. Like they're just hordes of them. You know, they're just like especially for something like that. It's organized. It's organized psychopathic criminality is what it is.
We have something in common there, Alfred. You know, it's not just in Germany. These Jews, you nailed it, brother. They have endless supplies of money. The exact same thing that happened in Dresden, Germany, with 20,000 Antifa showing up, being bussed in, being paid a stipend, being paid a salary. The exactly same happens here in the United States. And I keep going back to Charlottesville because I was there in August of 2017. And we saw busloads of Antifa coming in there. They have money. They have clothes, food. They're always financed by people like George Soros and what they call it, the American way, so to speak. But they're always financed by the same people. We always see them on the show. It's always Jews all the time. And it's worldwide. It doesn't matter where you go. Any hell being raised like that, if it's anti-white, it's always the same international Jew. Back to you, Miss Monica. I'll let you take us to we're getting ready to run out. We got a few more minutes in this hour. But y'all hang on, though. Hang on, Alfred, because we're going to take you into, we'll be going to a break. We'll be transitioning into the second hour in a minute, but we're going to hold you on as we agreed. And I'm really excited about that.
I'm glad you talked about the fact that these Antifas are being paid, because that was one of the questions I had. I knew that in North America they get paid and brought in by the busloads, but that is obviously the case also in Germany. And then when you combine that with this incessant re-education program, and I think Germany got targeted more, if that's even possible, more than in Canada and in the United States, that the people have been indoctrinated, because they're at the heart of it. So, you know, when we were kids, I remember being surprised when we went to visit our cousins and relatives in Germany, and we heard from them that it was illegal to do homeschooling there. And at that time, you know, it actually entered my head. First of all, I was puzzled. I thought, well, that's weird. Why is it illegal? We weren't being homeschooled. But we knew that there were lots of people who did get homeschooled here in our country, and it certainly was not against the law. And then I thought, well, why is it so strict there? And I kind of naively thought, gee, I guess they really, really care about the education of their young people, not really fully understanding that it was extremely important for them to indoctrinate the whole generation. And I hear the music there, but yeah,
we'll
hang on.
If we have time, I'd like to point out the people we need to be taking names and keeping their names, the people from the World Economic Forum, Davos, the Bilderberger meetings. And with that, people, if we have time, we'll mention it in the second hour. People, like I said, we are transitioning to the second hour. Please hold on. Go get you some coffee, whatever you need, because we're going to be gone about 4 minutes. Be right back.